Joining us now, we have the voice of the Panthers checking in at the quarter pole with us, Mick Mixon. What's going on, Mick?
Well, I've been hearing the ads for those new clubs. It sounds like Butch Harmon may be doing the voice. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. What in the ones? I don't watch commercials. What are you talking about?
You're kidding me. You're just jangling my chain. Are they good clubs? They look expensive.
Oh, the PXG ones?
Yeah, there's a website you can, I mean, for the low price of $90,000, you can get a couple sets, and they fly you to somewhere to fit you and wine and all that. I figured you guys had already done that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're made by the guy who sold Jack his beanstalk beans, so they are foolproof.
Man. Well, we need some beanstalk beans in Panther land to turn into green giants or whatever we need to be, but it's been a little problematic. I would not try to insult your intelligence or your audiences by trying to spin this in any way other than to say that it's just we've got good players and we've got good coaches. We just haven't been the kind of disciplined, opportunistic, psychologically resilient team yet that I think we'll morph into soon.
Yeah, we had a question earlier that said, with Julio Jones torching the Panthers in record fashion, is Josh Norman missed that much on this Panthers defense? What do you think?
Well, last year with Josh Norman on the field, Julio caught 9 passes for 178 yards, so he wasn't exactly held in check. You know, football's just not that way. It's like saying, you know, if you hadn't hit the cart shed on the first tee, you know, maybe you would have knocked in that birdie putt on 18 from 5 feet side hill. You know, it's just there's so many. You know, Dave Gettleman believes and believes currently in having a roster in balance. And if you're in imbalance, if you fall in love with too many players, let's just say we had Josh Norman, and let's say that he did hold Julio in check, but let's say we lost some other pieces because of the money we paid Josh Norman. Let's say that we'd lost Lou Kuechly or something crazy like that, or we couldn't have re-signed some of these offensive linemen that we needed. You know what I'm saying? It's not just as simple as, oh, gosh, where's Josh?
Well, yeah, and the variables, particularly on defense, are so many. I mean, you know, when you look at you know, the things you try to do to help protect a young secondary by running nickel packages and doing a little Tampa 2, putting 2 on the hash every once in a while, and then you run into problems with run support 1 week, and then you run into problem covering the next week. How are they going to plug all the holes in the boat?
I don't know. I think that right now, as we sit here and talk at this moment, the Atlanta game was almost like 2 losses. It was the divisional game that we lost. We lost the opportunity to get back in touch with some good feelings about ourselves. And we went to 1-4 at the end of the first quarter of the season, and we got Thomas Davis nicked up, a hamstring. Bradbury's got a toe. Funchess has got a toe. Newton's got a head. So I'd love to be able to answer your question right now, but I don't think the answer can be quite known yet.
Well, I mean, beyond the talent that the team has and the coaching staff that's in place and Gettleman's, you know, interest and success in building balance, what are our reasons to have hope? Let's look at the glass as being half full. What's coming up that's positive that we can look at that could be, you know, create a new trend?
Great. Yeah, this is why the Panthers believe there's no need to panic. The coaches are very calm. They're not happy, but they realize that it's a long way to Tipperary, and they also realize that, number one, it's a talented roster. Number two, we've been here before. The Panthers know what it's like to come from dead, 3-8-1, and make the playoffs. Number three, the mistakes are fixable. The problems have been, I mean, if we were just a bad team without a good quarterback and without – and we've had teams where you felt like if you made a first down, you felt like it was Mardi Gras. You felt like toasting the guy next to you, even if you didn't even know him. But this is a good club with the pedigree. So the problems such as the penalties, some bad run fits, some mental errors, some missed assignments, those are very, very fixable. And if you clean that up a little, you stay out of 1st and 19, 2nd and 26, 3rd and 37. Now defenses have to defend run and pass. They can't just rush 8 or 9, drop 3 or 4, and the numbers or two or three, rather, because if you rush nine, you drop two. Rush eight, you drop three. You know what I mean? You can add to 11. Then things start to balance out a little bit, and you can get the read option. You can get Jonathan Stewart off when he gets back. I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, but you start looking at Cam Newton, you know, pulling up, taking that hit, and some of the other hits that he's taken already this season. I mean, there's a legitimate concern about his health going forward in this season, isn't there?
Well, as opposed to illegitimate concern, I would have to agree with you, or a lack of concern. There's concern about them all, and I'm not dodging your question. Players respond so differently to head trauma, to adversity. Cam Newton, if you don't know anything about Cam Newton, even if by some odd chance you're a hater, you have to. You can't. There's no maybe or might. You have to agree this is a tough athlete. I mean, he to get stoned at the goal line, he got clocked on that two-point conversion where he was concussed, and somehow with the beginnings of a concussion kept his balance, used his right hand as an arm, launched himself for the end zone and crossed the plane. I mean, most guys would have just collapsed at the one or the two. You know, me or you, Greeny, we'd have been back out of bounds the 20 after a hit like that.
I'd have thrown it out of bounds.
Exactly, to avoid the contact. Me too. But Cam Newton's toughness, I mean, I don't have any intelligence for you on whether he'll play this Monday night or not, but I don't think it's been ruled out.
Well, and as you know, and I think we can all agree that the guy's tough, and the haters, the people who do criticize him, it's about leadership, and it's about the way he carries himself and maturity. And for me, again, the glass being half full on this case, I think this 1-4 start gives Cam gives Cam the best chance imaginable to show the kind of leader he can really be. It's easy to lead when things are going well. I think this is a great opportunity for him, and I hope he'll rise to the occasion. Do you think that'll happen?
I really do, and I talked to Coach Rivera this week. Our I'm not name dropping, but our respective jobs brought us into some contact, sort of the intersection of Coach Rivera and the Panthers radio network and TV network. We needed to do some things with him, and we did. And talking to Coach, I got chills at his press conference when he said, I'm excited about the challenge. I mean, he almost had me believing for a second that he's happy that we're 1-3. I know that not to be the case, but he stepped right into the breach, squared those linebacker shoulders of his up, and he said, look, we're going onward and we're going upward and we're going to be all right. And that kind of leadership you can get behind.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing coming up is two more divisional games, Tampa Bay and New Orleans, and I kind of equate these two games like the Atlanta game. I mean, there's times when these quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Drew Brees, kind of like a Matt Ryan, have looked great, and there's other times where they don't look all that great. So you never know what you're really going to get out of them. So, you know, these games can go either way, and again, these are divisional games, so they're twice as important, as you said earlier.
You're right. The table's set. Now we got to take them one at a time. But if we could take them two at a time, those divisional games you allude to, Greeny, you got a chance to be 3-3 at the bye week, 2-1 in the division, and that would seem like two or three under from where we are right now. If you can beat Tampa Monday night and then go to New Orleans and get one.
Mick Minkson, voice of the Panthers here on the Golf Shop Show. Mick, I got a question for you regarding the running game. So obviously the streak of 35 straight games of 100 yards or more ended against Atlanta. Do you see that new streak starting up here on Monday night?
I hope so. I mean, Tampa Bay's always been pretty good on D. They're hungry just like the Panthers are. They were a sexy pick in the preseason this summer to go 9-10 wins and maybe even be better than Atlanta. My golly, I hope they're not better than Atlanta. They beat Atlanta opening day, so don't sleep on Tampa Bay. But Coach Rivera said he was heartbroken that streak ended. And the reason is because the robust running attack is such a cornerstone, such a building block of what the Panthers try to do in the vertical passing game, occupy the ball, possess it, shorten the other team's chances, flip the field, and all those good things that come when you can just get in, you know, one back, two tights, two backs, one tight, and run that football.
Well, and as we were talking about the schedule and the running game and how it could come into play, I mean, we you know, like your often booth partner, Mike Rucker, who looks at the season in quarters, you know, you get past those two division games. And again, we're playing them one at a time. Then you've got the Cardinals, who are looking very similar to the Panthers, a little bit lost and underwhelming. And then the Rams, who after that first game with San Francisco, we all thought you might as well just show a project a picture of a football field team on the field and just let guys run through it. And now they appear to be got the ship going in the right direction. If you look at this next quarter, these four: Bucks, Saints, Cards, Rams. Is anything less than 3-1 insurmountable?
Let me think about that. Is anything less than insurmountable?
I mean, you gotta go three. I mean, if they don't go 3-1, are they in trouble?
That question's making me think too hard.
Yeah, I mean, nobody said there'd be math. Just carry the two and divide it by Avogadro's number. These next four games, if they go 2-2, is it a failure?
I don't know. That's not what the Panthers want and aspire to. But it kind of depends on what kind of 2-2 are we looking at. Do we have Cam Newton? Does he miss all these games with it being in the protocol? Does Cam come back? Do we get Thomas Davis and Jonathan Stewart back? I mean, there's 2-2, and then there's 2-2. But no, I think the Panthers would not, if a genie popped out of a bottle or if a greenie popped out of a bottle and said, "Here, you can rub this lamp and you can be 2-2 through the next four," the Panthers would say, "Heck no, get out of my face."
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Patriots sitting here going, everybody's upset that they're 3-1, and if you had told them before the season started that they were going to be 3-1, they're ecstatic. But now, because they got shut out by Buffalo, they're not too happy about it. I mean, it's the same type situation.
Exactly. Yeah, let's not cloud the issue with facts or logic. I mean, this is the principle upon which this country was founded, which is greed and wanting not only your fair share, but someone else's fair share.
Yeah, and any scenario that involves Greeny coming out of a bottle leads me to want to throw the bottle over on off a bridge.
Exactly.
If Greeny came out of a bottle, I think it would have a certain flavor to it of possibly spirits.
Probably. Definitely. So yeah, I mean, you're talking about if you go 3-1 and you've got all your players, everything's happy. If you go 3-1 and you didn't have all your players, you're ecstatic. Even if you go 2-2 and you didn't have all your players and everybody's starting to get healthy. So I mean, I think you kind of look at it. This is almost like the opposite of last season, where nobody really seemed to get all that dinged up last year, and it's kind of taken its toll already early this season. So you hope that maybe this is an early injury bug and everything kind of settles down and you can get into the season.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have joked around about alcohol. I didn't really mean to do that because I don't know your history, Greeny, you know, and if you're a recovering alcoholic or something. And I'm being very serious because I have that in my family a lot. Then I shouldn't have mentioned that in the way I did, a cavalier way.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
You're not, are you?
I'm drinking right now.
You're doing all right. Okay.
Oh my goodness. Oh, we're trying to get a heartfelt apology here, and you're going to bring it into the depths again.
Mick, I'm in the studio with Mike. I have to be drinking.
Oh please. Well, all right. So back to football. I'm wondering, as the Panthers look around the league, and everybody does, are there players that you can think of offhand that they might kind of covet for a skill set that would fit the Panthers going forward long term? Who do they like? What kind of guys would fit in that might be on other teams right now?
Other players on other teams the Panthers might like the look of?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, you know, I think that there is concern in the secondary with Bradberry having the toe injury, with Worley being on the come but yet maybe not quite ready to be in every down corner. Ben Wickery had a couple of mental mistakes he'd love to have back. The Panthers went and got Michael Griffin, a safety off the street. So, you know, if a Honey Badger or somebody like that decided they really wanted to move to the Carolinas and just start all over, skull-crushing safety, I don't think the Panthers would be too sad.
Yeah. I was curious because I was looking around, and so many safeties are the guys that teams really feel like they could fit in, and it's usually that skull crusher you're talking about.
Since this is my 12th year with the Panthers, Mike Minner was at the end of his career when I started here in 05. Safety has been the one position where it has just been, name the great Panther safeties in the last 10 years. I mean, we've gone, Charles Godfrey and Nate Sally, and we had Mike Mitchell, who played really, really well, but then he got the big payday to go to Pittsburgh. Marlon McCree from back in the day was a real thumper, but he was only here for a short while. We've just kind of been a patchwork group. In even though we've had some great defenses, we just hadn't had those iconic Panther Hall of Fame defensive backs like some teams have had.
Well, Mick, we're up against it. We always appreciate you coming on. We'll check back in with you mid-season and see how things are going then.
That sounds great, fellas. Thanks for the visit.
All right, thanks a lot. That's Mick Mixon of the Carolina Panthers.